God's good, amen. Yeah, this is, it's never a dull moment, or it's never a bad time when we can come into his presence and just worship in whatever way that we do. And it happens about, twice a year, maybe three times a year, where we don't have worship people to lead us, and we just use the, be it, it comes through the computer or CDs or whatever. And usually those times are decent. Now, obviously, we desire the live presentation, so to speak, because we have really good worship leaders in this church. Really good worship leaders and real good people that accompany in worship. And like, we're not a super huge church, but man, we've got some really good resources. Resources in a lot of different areas, and especially in worship. And so that's, that again is just a real blessing. Maybe I should use the Bible. Okay, let me get set up here. I want to talk about something that's close to all of us, and I think it's, in these days, it's getting closer. It's something that's important to all of us, and it's getting more important, especially, you know, we're a congregation of a charismatic Pentecostal heritage, and we don't take that lightly. That's something that we put a lot of prominence in, and a lot of thankfulness in. But let's pray right now. So, Father, we're thankful to be here. And, Father, Emily has already prayed. And, Father, we thank you for Emily. We thank you for her heart. We thank you for her spirit. And you thank you for her willingness to serve. And, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon her and the family. But, Lord, now may your presence be so real as your word comes out. Father, for me as your vessel, I ask that your word would come through. It would come through clear. It would come through strong. And Father, more than anything, it would come with your presence and with your anointing. So Lord, make us ready. Make us ready to the place that we need to be in regards to this issue. And we just pray a blood covering over it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin by asking this question. It's real simple. Are you ready? And I'll expand on that. But folks, are you ready? And this has to come down to each one of us, to each and every individual. Because when it does, it will have its way of manifesting itself in a congregation. And when it manifests in a congregation, it will manifest in a community of congregations. Emily just mentioned, one Friday night a month, we have what's called encounter groups, encounter nights here at Gateway. I don't know if it's the second Friday night, and it's kind of random in terms of which one. And so we started this a while back, and it's Ty and Laura Smith, youth leaders, that lead it. And last time we had it, which was, I think it was July 9th or something to that effect, we had a lot of people, and actually the way it's turning out, there was a lot of young adults. Because the young adult leaders, the youth leaders, are connecting with one another in the city. And like, that's kind of a cool idea for the overall church. So they come, and now they're participating. It's not just our people. It's not just our church. The way Emily described it, it's the Church of North Bay, and it's really cool. If you're around here on a Friday night, we have an encounter night, it doesn't matter if you're young like me, you know, or old like a lot of other people, but I'm not that young. I just want to make a mention of that last encounter night that we had. I've been around working with young people for, boy, it seems like forever. Last encounter night, we had Ty made an altar call, and these kids responded. These youth, these young adults, and then with a lot of adults, but the kids responded. Folks, they were on their knees and they were on their face. And I'm standing back there, and I'm just kind of looking, and the music's going, the kids are praying. I'm going, I hadn't seen that in a long time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I hadn't seen that in a while. And it was just like, it was serious. So it was just really a blessing. It was so cool. It was great. But one thing that this thought, what I really want to focus on here, this thought, this concept. It's important to all of us, and it doesn't matter what church we're from. And here's the thought. Are you ready to do the miraculous? Now understand how I express this. Are you ready to do the miraculous? Now a part of that is, do you have a desire? Is there a hunger to do the miraculous? I can recall years back in talking with people that had been in the church like a long time ago, and at that time being in the church for a while and walking with the Lord, and they would speak of the miraculous works that the Lord had done. And it's incredible. It's just incredible. But we got to remember something, that what we read in the book of Acts, you know, especially in starting in Acts chapter 2 with the baptism of the Spirit and the praying in tongues and all that. First of all, that was God's idea. And then secondly, that was the beginning of the church age. And we're living at the end. I don't know if we're getting it. I don't know if the church in North America is really getting it. We are living in end times. How can we prove that? Well, read Matthew chapter 24. Okay, we've been reading Matthew chapter 24 forever. Yeah, well, it still applies. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And it talks about the different characteristics of the end times, and it's unreal. There's other portions of Scripture in Timothy, especially about the one of itching ears, that there will be people who will compromise their stand, their faith, their thought, just so that they get these itchy ears and they'll be satisfied that the preachers will preach what sounds good. You see, you can have any kind of church. You can have a really great church and make things good as long as people feel good. You can have a lot of people in your church and a good church as long as you, as the leaders or as the preacher, just make people feel good. Don't get too heavy into some subjects, and for sure, just like, don't talk about sin. Don't do the sin thing, because that's kind of like taboo now in some places. But you just make it feel good. And I like, hey, Mike and I have come here 1,000 times, and we've left our service at Gateway and said, that was so good to be here. It was cool. This was right on. But then there's been some times where we've left and going, like, we're not saying anything to each other. I'm just, oh boy, God was there and he really put his finger on a certain part of my heart. Anybody know the sense of the feeling? Yeah, it's when God gets serious. But are we ready to do the miraculous? Is it a desire? Is it something that, you know, we even think of? Well, Jesus had something to say. He always had something to say. But he had something to say in Matthew. We're going to look at it. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read a few verses there. And in the midst, this is what I like so much about the Gospels, especially about the words of Christ. So often he throws a phrase in. So often he puts a thought in. In the midst of a conversation, or he's dealing with the disciples or with whoever, he puts a thought, and it goes boom. It's just so, it resounds. It's loud. It's big. And it's just sometimes a few words. Well, that, we've got one of those verses here, and we're going to look at it. But first of all, Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 13. It says this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. I like to stop there. And it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the message, but that verse in itself. Oh, hold on here. I got to make a little asterisk. He withdrew to a solitary place. How much can we talk about that in itself? How much of an example is that for us? He withdrew to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Oh, that is so right on. They followed him on foot from the towns, and they probably went a distance. Now, you got to remember, there's a large group of people that are gathering. I mean, we know this story as the feeding of the 5,000, but yet there's a little more to it. Let's see. Hearing on this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. That's another big boom. Verse 15, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Verse 17, "But we have only five loaves of bread and two fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to the heavens, gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate, and they were all satisfied, and the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Verse 21, the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Okay, so we'll start at the last verse, verse 21, and we'll just kind of go through it a bit. But it says that those who ate was about 5,000 men plus women and children. Okay. 5,000 men plus women plus children. And this is, I think, is a conservative number that I'm going to put out. There's probably about some 10 to 15,000 people at this gathering right now. Some 10 to 15,000 people, men, women, and children, that have come. They know enough about Christ that they've heard about him, that when this guy speaks, you really got to listen. When this guy prays, you really got to watch. When this guy does something, it's usually big. It's impactful in terms of the bigness, in terms of the impact, in terms of the enormity of it all. But 5,000 men plus women plus children. Right now, I believe the population of North Bay sits somewhere, I don't know, 52, 55,000 people, something like that. Here, there's some 10 to 15,000 people. So just doing like a rough calculation, there was probably some 25 to 30% of the population of North Bay is in this gathering right here. We get it? Just approximately, and that might be a conservative number. Some 25 to 30% of the population of North Bay is right here, right now. And they want to hear. Now, we don't know a lot in Scripture. We could probably find out through history, looking at through history, of what these places were like where Christ would preach from. Sometimes he was in a boat and he was out in the lake. Well, you know, when you go out in a lake and you start speaking, the sound has a way of projecting. You go to the side of the hill and talk to the hill, it has a way of projecting to those who are on the hill. But it had to be a big place because it had to be enormous, because 10, 15,000 people, like 25% or more of the population of North Bay, what's that say? There was a lot of people. There's just a lot of people. And it's overwhelming to think what's going to happen. So then Jesus is talking away, and I'm going to focus in verse 16. They do not need to go away. Remember, 10, 15,000 people. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. He's looking at the disciples. They don't have to go anywhere. Yeah, it's a remote place, and yeah, it's getting late, and yeah, they could faint on their way home. You give them something to eat. You feed them. What? You feed them. Christ was attempting to make, not just attempting, but Christ was looking to make a point, a very significant point. And sometimes within Scripture, we find these verses that I say they're kind of hidden. They're just kind of there, but we read over them, but we really don't notice them. And unless there's a real intervention of the Spirit to our hearts, to our spirit, to our mind, it's easy to miss. I don't know how many times I read this portion of Scripture, and that was just not that long ago. Well, actually now it's probably about a year ago. Read verse, you give them something to eat. What? 15,000 people? Lord, Pizza Hut's not close by. You know, the fast food places aren't close by. And you're telling us, give us something to eat? Well, verse 17 is really good, and verse 17 is the reaction that most of us would probably have. we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What happens? Well, the disciples, they're seeing the vast numbers and they're seeing the request or the, I don't know if you could call it, I'll say suggestion that Christ is making. You give them something to eat. Yeah, but we only got, how many times have we done that? Yeah, but God, we only have, Micah, do a quick count and then just let me know in a minute, okay? We only have, but we don't have a worship team today. We don't have the pastors to preach, our normal pastors to do their preaching. We don't have the resources that, you know, the big church that has 1,000 people down the street. Now, that's kind of odd to say that in North Bay because we don't have a church of 1,000 people. But if you go to a bigger city, that's not too uncommon. How many? Oh, and I thought, so I said, we're going to have about 30, 40 people. So we only have 35 people. Like, it's nice outside. It's summer. It's bright. It's sunny. It's beautiful. You know, and in here in North Bay area, the summers don't last very long. We need to take advantage of it. So let's don't even bother coming today. Go visit, go be with friends or a family. Go to the beach. We got some nice beaches around here. Or go over to the Duquette's place and you can use their pool. They'd let you. It'd be easy to take that kind of attitude and to justify it. But we don't have the resources. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. How many of us know that our God is in the business of taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and doing something with it? And in this case, Jesus is saying, okay, now you guys do it. You do it. And that's a big thought. I can recall, I don't know how, I'll just say years, some years ago, and I'll restrict it to the North American church. I can recall in the North American church a number of years ago, there was this thing that was always happening, and I don't know what's happening to the same extent today, but it's like everybody and their brother was rushing to go see the next big thing, the next big preacher, the next big faith healer, the real strong faith healer, the real big ministry. Evangeline, you were saying that a couple of weeks ago, is it the Hillsongs? Okay, you were at the Scotiabank Center, and it was the Hillsong group. How many people were there? It was full. Okay, that place holds about 20,000. That's where the Toronto Maple Leafs play. So actually Ken and Linda and some other people from North Bay were down in Toronto, and Hillsong was presenting a huge, basically a worship concert, let's say. And it's just, it's like, wow. And so what happens, like people from North Bay come to go drive 4 hours to go down to see. That's a good thing. But there was this thing where everybody ran everywhere to hear the big preacher, the high-profile speaker, the great teacher, the celebrity type in the body of Christ. And it was like, what? Like, and Jesus all along saying, yeah, but you give them something to eat. Amen. There's something there, folks, that we can't miss. You give them something to eat. Yeah, so we're going to drive 4 hours, and we're going to go down to the Scotiabank Center, and we're going to watch this incredible, like Ken said, it was an incredible, put pictures up on Facebook, it was an incredible worship time, and I believe it, and it'd be so cool to be there. You see, it's not a bad thing, it's not wrong that when the healer type, the teacher type, the evangelist type person, the Billy Graham type comes to town, that we go and see them. That's not wrong. That's good, because there may be some things that we can glean from them, learn from them, receive from them to be more effective in the body of Christ. Because if there are people who are anointed of God, who are gifted of God and being used mightily of God, and they come into town or they're in some area or in the vicinity, we should go and see them. But Jesus is saying, you do it. You do it. Or in other words, you be the man. You be the woman. You be the one that some 15,000 people come out to hear sitting on the side of a hill somewhere. Whoa. Heavy duty. I mean, in the midst of this huge miracle, Christ makes this statement, and then he doesn't really follow it up. He doesn't really focus on it more. He goes off. He said, well, bring what you have. Just bring here. And that's a message in itself. But you do it. You be the celebrity. You pray over the fish and multiply them. You be the person who prays over the loaves and multiplies them. You pray over your bank account and then start living your money in the way that God desires, and watch what happens. So you do it, he says. Well, so here's the thought. Why not us? Why not us here in Northern Ontario? Why not us here in North Bay, a town of some 50, 55,000 people? The population of this city has hardly changed in the last 30 years. When I first moved up to this area, and moved away and back and so on, but in 1988, the city of Barrie and the city of North Bay were approximately the same size. And some 30 years later now, North Bay is still approximately the same size. The city of Barrie is what, 200,000? Now, is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? Well, just because there's a lot of people doesn't mean it's necessarily a good thing. It could be a good thing. Is it a God thing? Well, we don't know. But the point that I'm bringing up, why not North Bay? Let's go further north. Why not Timmins? Why not Sudbury? Why not North Bay? Why not Sault Ste. Marie? Jesus made it so clear, and I really believe when he was saying, you do it, and I just imagine if he probably wasn't pointing the finger, because that's not really polite, but it's like his expression, his words were getting right into their hearts, and that's what needs to happen today. It gets right into our hearts. You do it. And well, why not? So let's look at it. Are we eligible? Can we be those vessels, those conduits, those tools to be used by God? Well, let's see. Are we born again by the Spirit of God? Yeah. We got the Spirit of God. We got the Spirit of God in us. For it's Christ in us. The Bible says that's a hope of glory. So yeah, we're born again by the Spirit of God. Do we have access to the Word of God? Well, yeah, right here. We need to take a poll or to survey how many Bibles each of us have in our homes, in our houses, our apartments. I got an idea. It's like more than one a person. And then nowadays, everybody's using their phones with the scriptures on them. And it's not just, it used to be that blue glow that you go to youth meeting and the kid's sitting right there and he's looking down and he's saying, what do you got in there? Well, I'm just reading the scriptures from my phone. Yeah, oh yeah, okay, that blue glow I see on your face, that's not the Holy Spirit. There's some stories in that one. So, we're born again. We're born again by the Spirit of God. We have access to the Word of God. We have faith. We have a decent measure of faith. We can grow in our faith. We can be strong in our faith. We can grow in faith. There's one portion where Jesus says to the disciples say to Jesus, increase our faith. Man, you better be careful who you're talking to. You're saying to the Lord, increase my faith. He just might do it. That's the thing. We got to be careful when we're praying for the will of God for our lives. You know why? He just might do it. And we might get surprised. It might startle us a bit. So we're born again by the Spirit of God. We have access to the Word of God. We have a faith. And just for good measure, you got to throw this in there. And for good measure, what's a significant thing anyways, but for good measure, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have it available to us. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not really concerned about your doctrine on this. With the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues, what's the important issue? It's the prayer language. And what's the second important issue there? That we use it. Let me stop here for a second. There is a real emphasis nowadays, and understandably so, and it's a good thing that in terms of our diets and what we eat and how we eat and that we be really conscious of it and everything like that, because we have such a rise in the levels of anxiety and the levels of stress and of mental illness, and people are getting pushed down and stressed out with all kinds of things of life because life is just getting too heavy. And so our diets can make a difference, and it's yes and amen to that. However, Billy Graham was 99 years old when he died. Oral Roberts was 93 years old when he died. One was an evangelist for the salvation of the world. The other one was a healing evangelist for the healing of the world. Did those guys, do you think those guys through their life spent much time in God's word? Big time. And it's no accident they die in their 90s. One almost 100. Because their spirit was kept young, their spirit was kept strong. You can say well enough that the word of God was in them. And that's what kept them healthy. Because God's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And you know what the wrinkle is all about? He's coming for a church. I don't know if I may have said this here before, but he's coming for a church that is young. He's not coming for a church that's bent over and old and decrepit and cantankerous and miserable and just like not a nice person type thing. He's coming for a church that is young, and it has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with the level of the Spirit of God in you, in us. It has everything to do of how much we access the Spirit of God in us. It has everything to do, if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, how much we use that prayer language every day. I just heard a guy, a teacher of a school of ministry down in basically Charlotte, North Carolina. This is it, but the school of ministry is in South Carolina. I forget it's just a small, it's a suburb of Charlotte, North Carolina, and he teaches young adults, a 2-year school of ministry, and they're teaching on in terms of things of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, charismatic Pentecostal distinctives. He's encouraging. I heard him say this. I just went, wow. I was watching it online. He's encouraging his students. Get this. And I don't think this is all at once. He's encouraging his students to pray in the Spirit 4 hours a day. What? Not pray 4 hours a day. Pray specifically in the Spirit 4 hours a day. And, I mean, I'm watching this online, so it's not like you can have interaction with it. I'm going, yes, yes. But I wanted to, but what do you mean by, like, how, in what way? And I couldn't ask him any questions. But the point behind it, and that's something that really resonated with my spirit, I've always believed in that gifting of the it's the beginner's gift, that gifting of the prayer language. Well, we've got it, and it's there for a purpose, and it's for use. And if we want to be healthy, use the prayer language. And if we don't got it, you do whatever you can to get it. Amen? I'm telling you, folks, you do whatever. You get people to pray for you. You get people to fast for you because it's that important in this day that we live in and in the day to come. It's that important. And if you've ever been through any anxiety, stressful type of times or stressful, anxiety-filled type of seasons and you used your prayer language, you'll find out how valuable that is. And aside just from that, I mean, it just gets us closer to the Lord. So why not us? We were born again. We've got the access to the Word of God. We've got the Holy Spirit. Oh. You see, we could talk about and give a lot of instruction in terms of how to do the miraculous. That could be worthwhile time. Well, obviously not. We're not going to do that here this morning, but here's a quick, I'll say just a quick lesson. Do we want the miraculous? Number one, get the Word of God in us. We just need to get the Word of God into us, and we get the Word of God. And don't just do it in the mornings. Do it twice a day. And even if it's one or two chapters on a sitting, big thing there is consistency. We get the Word of God in us because it's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, it says. So get the Word of God, and it's number two. Oh, here's a fun issue. Let's deal with the sin issues. We just deal with the sin issues. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I gotta be careful because I get confused with other ones. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our crap. Now I'm paraphrasing it. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sin one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man goes a long way. Then a real popular verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if, there's that word if again, there's a condition, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Wow. I wonder how long we could spend preaching on that one verse alone. Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. What's the rest of that go? Pardon, Micah? Forgive them of their sins. And, ooh, something, eh? Heal their land. And when it's talking about land there, I don't believe it's just the physical land, though that's a part of it. Folks, how much does our nation need to be healed? I wonder what would happen if God's people on a larger scale, on a bigger level, started confessing more of their sin. And you keep it private, one to another, and praying for one another that you may be healed for the whatever, or that if we're turning from our wicked ways and God then heals, he's healing the multitudes, the people, but he's also healing the land. I believe this, and this is just me, you don't have to agree with that. A country will receive a leadership typically, I'm going to say typically, what they deserve, especially the Christian people. Why do I say that? Because we know. We know how to live righteously. We know how to take in the Word of God. We know the way that the Father desires for us, how he desires for us to live. And when we don't, and if there's not confession of it, if there's not an asking of for forgiveness of it, a curse comes upon the land. Read Deuteronomy 28 about blessings and cursings. So we have the tools. We've got, to what extent are we using the tools? Again, verse 17, the disciples, I don't know why, I don't know how did the Lord deal with him? He had to be shaking his head a lot. 15,000 people, yeah, but Lord, like, hey, Jesus, we only got 5 fish and 2 loaves. Like, do you know what you're talking about? And they responded typically the same way that we responded. And I want to give an illustration. And if I get something wrong, you got to. Okay, I want to share a story about when Evangeline was pregnant with Ezekiel, which, you know, it seems a long time ago, because you're there again. So. I asked the evangelist, well, do you want to share? You share. She goes, no, I don't want it. She was all shy. And said, no, okay, so I just want to make sure I get it right. It's when Evangeline was pregnant with Ezekiel, and that's going back a ways now. And it's in the morning, just, I don't know, like a Tuesday, Wednesday morning, and I get a call from Evangeline, which is really unusual, to be getting a call at that time of the day. Evangeline was working at that time, and she would have to take the subway to go to work. Living in North York. And she would have to, she'd walk, basically, because Jigs would be gone off to work. He has the car. He had a good distance to travel. And so it's this, I'll say it's a Tuesday afternoon. A Tuesday morning. And so it's the Tuesday morning, and I get a call from Evangeline all of a sudden, and it was... it wasn't a good call. Now, how many of us know that when we get a call at 8:30, 9 o'clock, quarter to 9 in the morning from someone that doesn't call at that time, something's up. Something's happening. Or if we get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, something's up. Something's happening. This was one of those situations. And again, here's a young mom, this really cute young mom, just a real blessing to her family and her church and her family and everything like that. And Evangeline says to me, Dad, I'm having a hard time breathing. And this is, please, this is not to be funny, okay? Now, you can laugh if you want. This is not to be funny. She sounded like Darth Vader. What are you laughing for? I never told you that, did I? But you did. That's what it reminded me. Okay? No, Evangeline, she's a lot cuter than Darth Vader. But that was the best way to... Evangeline, do you realize that you're the only one laughing? I never embarrassed my kids in any time I was speaking. Amen? Amen, Micah? I knew Micah would have a response. Joel was good for that too. I remember the one time preaching at Calvary, and at Calvary here in town, across town, and at the back of the church there was a shed, and that and Whittlefield High School is right across the road from Calvary, and that shed, a lot of times there was a season where this was happening for a while, and it was at that time where Trent Antle was the youth pastor at the time, really strong youth ministry. And kids would go behind, like at noontime, would go behind that shed, and they'd do drugs. And I mean, they were doing some strong drugs. They were leaving all kinds of paraphernalia and everything. Matter of fact, here's a rabbit trail. Matter of fact, there was one day, there was a group of kids. I think they wanted to get a message either to the church, to Trent, or whatever. Somebody, and it was one of the kids, somebody put a scripture verse on one of our back doors, painted it on. I wish I could remember. I think it was Matthew chapter 6 or Matthew chapter 4 or something. But anyways, talking about not embarrassing your kids, so I'm preaching away, and I made a reference to my oldest son, Joel, and he was really involved with the youth at that time. I said, yeah, it's like Joel being behind the shed doing drugs. Well, anybody who knew Joel, like, he doesn't do drugs. I don't think he does drugs today, and he's like 30 years old. But anytime you have the privilege, folks, to embarrass your kids in a nice way, take it. So anyways, Evangeline, she calls and, okay, and Dad, I'm having a hard time breathing. Now, I wish I could say I went boom, right to it and had the heart of God and the voice of God at that time. I reacted in a human perspective. My first thought was, okay, well, you know, everything's computing in my head. Young mom, first time pregnant. About how many months at that point? It was still early, though. It was 4 or 5 months. And I just call 911. Well, she wasn't at home. And I don't think calling 911 was really the thing to do, because by the time they would have got there, young mom, first time pregnant, and I'm hearing all this, and I'm hearing Darth Vader's voice, and it's just... I wasn't afraid. I didn't get, like, scared, but the alarms within me went off. It's just like a 5-alarm fire went off, and it's just, oh, we got to do something. We can listen to those preachers that we really appreciate. We can hear those songs, the music, incredibly anointed of God, of these people. We can hear the prayers of those healing evangelists. You know, we can hear the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist, all those leadership type positions in the church. But guys, sometimes it only comes down to you and Jesus. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. That's how important that was. You give them something to eat. Because at that point, I mean, I didn't have to, I couldn't call, I didn't say, well, Evangeline, let's call your pastor. No time for that. And you could have called Pastor Sonny Guzman, really nice man. We could have called him and he would have prayed, but there was no time for that. Well, hold on, I'm going to email Billy Graham's ministry and see if I can get one of their counselors on the line. Well, no. You don't have time for that. Well, hold on. Maybe somebody, those people who are at the Scotiabank Center the other night, maybe they could pray. No, how are we going to get a hold of them? See, at the point I'm making at times, folks, it comes down to us and Jesus. And that's it. Us and Jesus. And all that I know is that my only daughter, who's a young lady, first time being pregnant, can't breathe. Well, I find out that Evangeline had made it to the subway and was there. Evangeline, we're going to pray. And so I prayed. And I don't if I remember right, it wasn't any eloquent prayer with eloquent words. It was more desperation than anything. And God intervened, and she was able to calm. You remember that? She was able to calm down. And I'm going, okay. And folks, do you know that our kids, no matter how old they get, they have a way of keeping us close to God? Okay? Now, do you remember the rest of the story, young lady? Do you remember the rest of the story? What did you do that day for breakfast? Watch this. You did zero. You had no breakfast. You had no liquids. You had, because you said it later, you had no nothing. Do you want to speak in your defense? Shit, no breakfast, no liquids, she had to walk from her place to the subway. It wasn't really like a real, real long way, but it was still a bit of a way that it get your blood flow. And this is a young lady that, first time being pregnant, and she had nothing. What? It was just like, well, no wonder. Our kids keep us close to God. But at that point, again, folks, there was nobody around. And I didn't know how serious. I mean, I joke about it. At the time, it wasn't funny. But there was nobody around. And then I was thinking, well, at least if Evangeline's in the subway, if she gets really bad, hopefully there's going to be maybe one or two people that are in the midst of the busyness of the morning sees her. Were you sitting on a bench? Yeah. And would be able to intervene if really need be. Sometimes the pastors aren't around. Sometimes the members of the big music group aren't around. Sometimes that preacher who has a multi-million-dollar ministry is not around. And sometimes it's just us and Jesus. And Jesus said it to the disciples, and he says it to you and I today, folks. You give them something to eat. And I'm going to add to it. You give them something to eat because of the tools that we have, what we possess in the Lord. Listen to this. We can give them something to eat. Amen? We can do it. Why not us? Why not? With God, all things are possible. And with the day and age that we're living in and the day and age that we're coming into, we're going to need to know that concept, and we're going to need to know those words where Jesus said, okay, you guys do it. You be the man. You be the woman. You be the celebrity. You be the high-profile one. You be like the one that they're coming, they're filling up the Scotiabank Center of 20,000 people or more when they put seats on the ice surface as a floor. They're hearing to preach. They're hearing to teach. Yeah, but I don't. But we only have five. We only have two. Doesn't matter. Let's use the gifts that we have. Let's use the tools that we have. Let's use what's before us. And as such, we're going to be able to feed the multitudes. We're going to be able to speak to those who need to be spoken to. We're going to be able to pray the prayers that need to be prayed for the healing to come. James, could you cue up 10,000 reasons again? So you do it. Like, it's unreal. Folks, do you know the day and age that we're living in? And Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2 really speak of it, of how darkness filled the earth and darkness is covering the earth. And we're living in that day now and coming more so into it. But then it says, I love that word, but. How's it going, Micah? The Lord rises upon you. The Lord rises upon us, and the glory comes all around us. And we got to speak on that sometime. How dark, but yet how light. How bad, yet how good. How miserable, but yet incredible joy. And it's all because of Christ in us and because of his word. You got that, James? Can you start playing it? You give them something to eat, folks. You do it because you've got it, because you can. You're a child of God. You've got it. You can. You've got it. You can. And when we start applying it more, and especially for those who have walked with the Lord for quite a bit of time now, we've got it. Let's use it. And at that point, then, watch the miraculous take place. Let's all stand.